Session number 3820, wheel number 3.
This is reel 3 of Rosemary Allen, and you were saying how you fitted into this house during the war in Gloucestershire.
Yes, it was the village chapel, and had been inhabited by evacuees who were bored by the country and went back to London. So we were allowed to rent it from our landlord, Sir Thomas Bazley, for, I think, 12 shillings a week, and we were incredibly grateful. Our next-door neighbours at that time were Italian prisoners who were working on the farm, and they were extremely good neighbours and were always kind, and in the evenings we used to put on records of Gili, and they came and sat all round the back door while we played the Italian opera. And in the mornings, they used to do their teeth over the wall and sing the operas while they were doing their teeth. And they were also extremely good cooks. And when they made pasta, which they made their own pasta on the kitchen table, they used to hang us some over our front gate. And I've never had such good pasta before or since.
Sounds very congenial. It was very congenial considering they were prisoners.
Yes, they were very good. And then we had the Italians left, and we had Austrian prisoners and German prisoners. And I always remember one of the German prisoners had a puppy, which they were extremely fond of. And one morning they were told that they were going to return to Germany next week. And on that morning the puppy fell into the well, and which was 30 feet deep and really very unsafe for sides, and one of the German prisoners insisted on being let down into the well by a very uncertain rope to rescue this puppy, which I always thought was extremely heroic, because it was very unsafe and he knew he was going to return home. However, anyway, they got him down into the well, and unfortunately the puppy was dead, but very fortunately he didn't come to grief, but it was a very brave act, I always thought, to do that. And we used to correspond. I think he took back various pairs of trousers of Gwyn's back to Germany, because he knew they had no clothes. And we used to hear from him for 2 or 3 years afterwards, and when my daughter was born he sent her a German doll. And then after the war we've constantly been visited by the Italian prisoners. In fact, last year the last one, who runs a restaurant in Milan, came and bought us a bottle of Chianti. Runs a restaurant in the for the University of Milan called Lewis and went all round the village visiting his friends and looking extremely grand in this marvellous Italian wild silk and super sort of suede shoes.
The ex-prisoner.
Yes.
Now, we've established that in a way the war was a stimulating time for your work, presenting some of the first real opportunities. The next thing to say is, did it have any lasting influence on you as an artist? Can you trace some good that came of it in your later work?
No, I don't think I can. No, I was very fortunate after the war and had a very curious job to illustrate two volumes of a children's history book, which I found very difficult, and but did in took to drawing in ink in a way that I hadn't done before, and using watercolour, and though the results were ludicrous, I think that was a much greater help because it freed me from the feelings of that oil paint was a kind of duty, and I worked in watercolours for the next 10 years with a much greater feeling of freedom. And also, I suppose, because my husband was working in oils and on a completely different scale in a way that I couldn't hope to come anywhere near, and I felt that one could work in a minor way quite differently without being influenced in a way that I couldn't possibly hope to live up to, and that gave me a sort of individual freedom, a mental freedom that I was grateful for, because I've always loved his work, but I've always thought it's a very difficult position for anybody married to an artist. They must somehow, because if the marriage is satisfactory, they are bound to admire their husband's work very much. But on the other hand, you've got to retain your individuality as a separate painter, and otherwise you cannot have a fresh vision at all. And so I was very grateful to be forced to work in watercolour and not in oils, and only 10 years or so after that one was felt free to work in oils in a different way that was not influenced by my husband. And I always feel that it's a difficult thing for both people, and I'm very grateful to have solved this in a way.
Let's dwell a bit on what you did do. Subject matter?
Subject matter, mostly, when one could subject matter, a series of portraits of people done in watercolour and ink. That was a direct follow-up of what one did learn in the war. And the other was, I've always made for the sea whenever I can, and going off on one's own and painting the sea. Yes, there's two things, really.
This has been consistently?
Yes, two things. One was a series of portraits of people in their own surroundings, in sort of, I always feel people are like sort of caddis worms, you know, they make their own kind of messes, and I like drawing people surrounded by the sort of things they collect or the messes they make. Friends. And I did a series of portraits, which were very different, really. They were far more drawings than paintings. They were coloured drawings, really. And then also loving to make the sea whenever I could.
And you implied with less detail as you developed.
Yes, certainly the ones, yes. Less detail, yes.
Always representational. Sea paintings.
Yes.
No abstract elements.
No, not really. I don't think I've got the... They're becoming more abstract, but I've never had the intellect, really, to isolate enough to... I've always had to give a collection of information rather than to isolate enough, really.
No symbolism? No special imagery?
Not a sausage, no. No symbolism.
You've exhibited quite a bit. I'm reading from a list at the Upper Grosvenor Galleries in 1971, and this mentions the Royal Academy, the London Group, the New English Art Club, the Leicester Gallery, Redfern, and the Imperial War Museum. Of course, we've mentioned the War Museum, we've mentioned the London Group. The Royal Academy, that was before the war, was it? Or since?
No, after the war. Yes, after the war. Yes, fairly regularly in the Royal Academy, yes.
So you've had some following, obviously.
Yes, I haven't done as much work as I should, because I'm fundamentally very lazy and a very bad organiser.
And you run a home. You've made that clear, that you're involved in the home, and so you've made it almost secondary. Have you felt at all frustrated for not doing enough?
Yes, every now and then I can only really work when I go away. I find in isolation I can work extremely hard.
As you did last week in Wales, apparently.
Yes, when I do go away, I do work all the time.
So you work in short bursts.
Yes.
You make up for your laziness and your
domesticity. I can concentrate when I'm by myself, yes. And I think that applies to most women painters, I'm sure it does.
You don't apologise for them at all?
In what way?
You don't think that you don't think that they fulfil themselves insufficiently, inadequately?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes.
So they have been perhaps neglected, deprived of
we're talking about paintings.
Yes, I do. And there's no answer for it, though. You've implied that if they are to fulfil themselves as mothers and wives, you know.
Oh, we're talking about the painters or
women
or
painters in
paintings.
General. Yes.
Oh, women painters in general. Yes, I think must always be patchy, because I think that one has obsessions with subjects. And I think that I know the only sort of women painters that I've can remember, for instance, I used to see quite a lot of Ethel Walker. And I realise that you, if you are a woman painter of full time, you've really got to isolate yourself from an ordinary life. And at one point it must be a very great agony, and I've never had the either the will or the intellect. I've had the best of both worlds, but sort of both have suffered a bit. The house has been untidy and the and the paintings not as good as they might have been, but I've been extremely fortunate and had a very happy life, and
yes,
therefore both suffer. But one's been very thankful for what one has been allowed to do. But I do realise that if I'd had, I would give the one thing that I think every painter should have is an enormous amount of physical energy. One always needs a sort of top layer of immense energy and ruthlessness to a certain extent. Hello?
You also have managed to produce another painter in the family. Well, in a sense. You must have encouraged your daughter, who is a painter.
She really wanted to work in the theatre and got herself into the Central School of Drama, and then suddenly decided that she too wanted to be a painter after having drawn as a guest student at the Royal Academy schools, and has followed in the family tradition and is going to become a very, very much better painter than I could ever be. And all I can say is that I can only advise her, as I think she will be, is to be more single-minded than I've been. And can you stop here, because I'm talking really...
Another aspect which you find rewarding, you say, is the persistence of, or the survival of friendships made of the Slade.
Yes, I do, indeed, because all one's friends, or especially one's female friends with whom one was the Slade, have become more like relations, and their children, whom one is constantly in touch with and whose opinion one values enormously. Nancy, Caroline, Mary Keyes, Margaret Norman, who is no longer less alive, Elizabeth Bartlett, and all those people with all their children have become very much more precious than any of one's cousins or relations, and that is something that one does value throughout one's life.
You seem, in many respects, although you say underfulfilled, you seem happy enough with having been a painter and being married to one.
Yes, one is happy enough in daily life until one looks at one's own paintings, yes. And one's very grateful to have been allowed to do what one has. And one's immensely grateful for one's good fortune in marrying a painter, but that one also looks at one's paintings and regrets that one wasn't able to concentrate for longer and produce a continued stream which might have turned into a much more definite statement. But one accepts great happiness and that is the price of great happiness, and I don't think a woman painter can expect both. She's either got to do major works and pay the price and not be nearly as happy as I have been.
Rosemary Ann, thank you.
James Mellon, thank you.